Right, we might get started. Okay, what I've titled my message today is The True Israel of Yehovah is Not Fleshly, but Spiritual, or Ruachal. If we could go to the second slide, please. In Bereshit, chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, it says, Now Yehovah said to Avram, Get yourself out of your country, away from your kinsmen, away from your father's house, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. And you are to be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse anyone who curses you. And by you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And further down in Bereshit 15 and verse 1 to 6, it says, Sometime later, the word of Yehovah came to Avram in a vision. Don't be afraid, Avram, I'm your protector. Your reward will be very great. Avram replied, Yehovah Elohim, what good will your gifts be to me if I continue childless? And Eliezer from Damascus inherits my possessions. You haven't given me a child, Avram continued. So someone born in my house will be my heir. But the word of Yehovah came to him. This man will not be your heir. No, your heir will be a child from your own body. Then he brought him outside and said, Look up at the sky and count the stars. If you can count them, your descendants will be that many. He believed in Yehovah, and he credited it to him as righteousness. And then in 1 Chronicles, we didn't read this today, but 1 Chronicles 29:18, it says, Yehovah Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Israel, our ancestors, guard forever the inclinations of the thoughts in the hearts of your people. Direct their hearts to you. And that spoke really to me about what the whole parasha is about. When I spoke to you last time, it was in relation to the creation of a natural heaven and a natural earth, followed by a natural Adam, or mankind, made from the dust, which was Adama, or the ground, followed by Adam entering the garden, where he later sinned and threw all men into sin. Then we looked at a new Ruachal, or spiritual heaven and earth, under the renewed covenant of the Kedavah HaShalakim, or the writings of the apostles. So there is a second Adam, the Yeshua HaMashiach. So if we go to the slide 5, please. In 1 Corinthians 15, 45 to 47, it says, In fact, the Tanakh says, that is the Old Testament, the first Adam became a living human being, but the last Adam became a living, life-giving spirit, or Ruach. Note, however, that the body from the spirit did not come first, but the ordinary human one, the one from the spirit, comes afterwards. The first man is from the earth made of dust. The second man is from heaven. There's also a new garden, so to speak, in Messianic Jews Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 24. For the Messiah has entered a holiest place, which is not man-made and merely a copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, in order to appear now on our behalf in the very presence of Yehovah. The new Adam's entrance into heaven, or Yeshua's entrance into heaven, was like the first Adam when he was put into the garden to rule the world. Yeshua, according to the scriptures, is said to sit on the right-hand throne of Yehovah now, at this very moment. He has dominion over everything. Just as the first Adam was given dominion over all the animals and the creatures and everything on this earth, and he named each and every one of them, Yeshua now has dominion over everything. So can we go to the next slide, please? In Bereshit, Genesis 1:28, Yehovah blessed them and he says to them, Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and every living creature that crawls on the earth. And in Ephesians 1:18-21, it says, I will pray that he will give light to the eyes of your hearts so that you will understand the hope to which he has called you, what rich glories there are in the inheritance he has promised his people, and how surpassingly great is his power working in us who trust him. It works with the same mighty strength he used when he worked in the Messiah to raise him from the dead and seat him at his right hand in heaven, far above every ruler, authority, power, dominion, or any other name that can be named either in the Olam Hazeh, that is this world, or the Olam Haba, that is the world to come. So instead of Adam going on in victory to experience the dominion Yehovah gave to him, we know the sad story that he sinned. He would never know the thrill of seeing all humanity who came from him to be born and rule in the kingdom. He was thrown out of the throne room, so to speak, when he was thrown out of the Garden of Eden. The wonderful thing is that when Yeshua ascended into glory and sat on the throne of the Ruachal or spiritual kingdom we enjoy today, he undid the damage that Adam did and the Adam caused when Adam yielded to the serpent in the garden and sinned. And Yeshua washed away our sins. And I know you think that Adam didn't take of the apple first, it was, or the fruit first, it was Hava. But Adam was beside her at the time, and he was head over her, and he could have stopped it. It was the fact that he didn't stop it was the sin that he did. Not that just that he ate of the fruit, but that he didn't stop Hava from eating it and not eating it himself. So after we read about all these things in Bereshit, we realize that they show a pattern of the same things in the Ruachal or spiritual version since Yeshua has come. And there is the overall truths of the rest of the Tanakh or the Old Testament that teach us something very important. And that is, Yehovah accomplished many things until he finally called out a particular man. The first particular man he called out was Avram, to begin a particular nation of people to eventually be called Israel. I think the biggest problem here is the man-made state of Israel. People get confused with the people that Yah called Israel. They are two different peoples. Watch now as there is a Ruachal Israel today. And there is a Ruachal Israel today. We're all part of it. We are part of spiritual Israel, whether we're descendants of Ram or not. And I'm going to show you that, especially how all the stories in the Tanakh of the Old Testament about Israel actually help us understand how to live our lives now in this new kingdom in a Ruachal or spiritual way. So Yehovah told Avram he would make his name great on the earth and make a great nation from him. But as we know, Avram was an old man and had no children. He could be the father of a great multitude or nations, as we read in the scriptures today. But Avraham resorted to asking Yehovah to allow his servant to be an heir. And that was the custom of the day. The slave girl could be an heir for the head of the house. And she could bring forth the heir, not necessarily the wife. So what we do know, that Yehovah said that Avram would father a child. Now this is where Avram and Sarai go ahead of Yah. In their impatience, they try to manipulate the situation. And they try to produce an heir without going according to Yah's will. So let's have a look in Bereshit 16 and verse 1. It says, now Sarai, Avram's wife, had not borne him a child, but she had an Egyptian slave girl named Hagar. After Jehovah tells Avram that he would father a child himself, the idea still did not leave about getting someone from the fleshly manner or the natural manner to make this manifest. There was a 25-year gap between when Avram was first told he was going to father a child until he fathered it. That's a long time. No wonder he went ahead of Yah. He just couldn't be patient. So instead of considering his servant Eliezer as his heir, Yah told him he would father an actual heir. And instead of Sarai mothering this heir, he knew he would father the child, but Avram considers Sarai's servant as the mother, since the culture of the day, as I said, allowed the servant to be the woman, to bear the child. So that the idea of taking a servant to see the promise of Yah fulfilled is what's being stressed in this story. It's also an incorrect concept that Yah seems to be having a hard time in shaking from Avram, because Avram at the moment is working out of a fleshly manner. He speaks with Jehovah, he has the Ruach within him to be able to do that, but he's still working in a fleshly manner. Now Hagar was from Egypt, or even closer to Arabia, and Shaul said this is where the fleshly, the Torah of Moshe, came from, in the Arabian desert of Mount Sinai. This is also exactly where we see emphasized in the Ketuvah HaShelekim regarding our spiritual or Ruach lives. Fleshliness and human ingenuity can easily replace true spirituality. Our bodies are meant to be considered servants and not lords in our lives. If we allow our bodies or our fleshly desires to lord or rule over our lives, we are actually practicing idolatry, because we're putting ourselves first before Yah. People are spirit, soul, that is our mind, will and emotions, and body. That is how Yah wants us to be. We often hear body, soul and spirit, but we're actually soul, spirit and body. And the Ruach is mentioned first since it should be the dominant part of our lives. It is the part that died in Adam, that is reborn in new birth, and is the breath of Yehovah within us. Without the Ruach and the breath of life within us, we would have no life. That's why the Ruach, or the spiritual part of our being, should always be mentioned first. Because without that, we've got no life. And it's the part that died in Adam that is reborn, as I said, for that new birth. So Yehovah works through the Ruach, and that is why all things in truly righteous people are good things. The body is meant to serve all, that is, not run our lives. The body is meant to serve our lives. Mankind is in trouble now since the body aspect has been blown out of proportion. When Eve ate the forbidden fruit, she became focused on self. We are meant to walk after the Ruach, not after the flesh. If she wasn't so concerned about self, how would she have known she was naked? How would she have known that she had to cover herself? Because the eyes went off the Ruach, went on to the self, and they noticed. Can we go to slide 10, please? In Galatians 5, 16 and 17. It says, what I'm saying is this. Run your lives by the Ruach. Then you will not do what your old nature wants. For the old nature wants what is contrary to the Ruach, and the Ruach wants what is contrary to the old nature. These oppose each other, so that you find yourselves unable to carry out your good intentions. The flesh produces things that are called works of the flesh, And these are the nasty things in our lives. In Galatians 5:19-23, it says, "And it is perfectly evident when what the old nature does. It expresses itself in sexual immorality, impurity and indecency, involvement with the occult and with drugs, in feuding, fighting, becoming jealous and getting angry, in selfish ambition, factionalism, intrigue and envy, in drunkenness, orgies and things like these. I warn you now, as I have warned you before, those who do such things will have no share in the kingdom of Yehovah. But the fruit of the Ruach is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control. Nothing in the Torah stands against such things." When Sarai offered Avraham, her maidservant Hagar, a servant to mother her child from Avram, this is where we see trouble begin. Can we go to slide 12, Bereshit 16, 4 and 5. Avram had sexual relations with Hagar and she conceived. And when she became aware that she was pregnant, she looked on her mistress with contempt. All that Sarai had done for her before meant nothing. She now held the air within her body, so now she was acting in contempt. Sarai said to Avram, "This outrage being done to me is your fault. True, I gave my slave girl to you to sleep with, but when she saw that she was pregnant, she began holding me in contempt. May Yehovah decide who is right, I or you." Hagar begins causing tension, and suddenly bad feelings and moods enter the house that are not of Yehovah. Not only that, but the child is said to be going to be wild. In Bereshit 16:11-12. So this child is going to be like a child, probably what we'd call a child with ADHD or something today, where it's very difficult for them to settle down and be controlled. But Ishmael was called wild. "The angel of Yehovah said to her, 'Look, you are pregnant and you will give birth to a son. You are to call him Yishmael.'" Yehovah pays attention, because Yehovah has paid attention to your misery. "He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand against everyone and everyone's hand against him, living his life at odds with all kinsmen." It hasn't changed. Ishmael is the Arab people of today who still have their hands against the children of Yitzhak in every way, shape and form. Ishmael is born and Avram gets straightened out. Avram is renamed Avraham, going from Avram, meaning high father, to Avraham, meaning father of multitudes. Can we go to Bereshit 17, please? Yehovah said to Avraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you are not to call her Sarai," which means mockery. "Her name will be Sarah," or Sarah, princess. "I will bless her. Moreover, I will give you a son by her. Truly, I will bless her. She will be the mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her." At this, Avraham fell on his face and laughed. He thought to himself, "Will a child be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah give birth at 90? Avraham said to Yehovah, "If only Ishmael could live in your presence." Yehovah answered, "No, but Sarah, your wife, will bear you a son, and you are to call him Yitzhak," which means laughter. "I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. But as for Ishmael, I have heard you. I have blessed him. I will make him fruitful and give him many descendants. He will father 12 princes. I will make him a great nation. But I will establish my covenant with Yitzhak from Sarah, who will bear Sarah will bear to you at this time next year." So he was 99 at this time, and she bore him at when he was 100, and she was 90. So you all know the rest of the story, and that's in next week's reading, so I'm not going to go there. But in Bereshit 21:2-3, Sarah conceives and has a son, who she calls Yitzhak, just as Yehovah said she would. Excuse me. We also know that this second child caused problems for Abraham and Sarah. Everyone who has two children or more knows that it's never the same or as easy when there is only one child in the family. One child is a breeze. Once the second one comes along, jealousy steps in, sibling rivaling steps in. And the more you have, the more difficult it becomes. And I take my hat off to the families in this congregation with large families. Mind you, I raised five, so I know what it's like. And I was one of five. Both my parents were one of five. So huge ancestry, it happens. But it's not easy being one of five. And it's not easy being parents of five or more. Because sibling rivalry does kick in. My siblings range from 77 to, got to think how, 68, I think my youngest is. And even to this day, when we're all together, there's a pecking order. And mine's at the bottom. And I'm not the youngest child either. But that's just the way it's always been. So it happens. The natural means of gaining a child for Abraham turned out to produce problems. The child born through the supernatural means is attacked and slighted by the fleshly child. And this is an impressive message in our lives as believers. The natural aspect of our lives attacks and hinders the ruachal aspect or the spirituality that is within us. The part of us that produces fruit of the spirit or the ruach is stifled by the fleshly works of all the negative things in our lives. I just want to finish with these last three scriptures, and they're all from Galatians chapter 5. For it is by the power of the Ruach who works in us, because we trust and are faithful, that we confidently expect our hope of attaining righteousness to be fulfilled. And in verses 7 and 8, you were running the race well, who has stopped you from following the truth. Whatever means of persuasion he has used was not from the one who calls you. And in 15 to 17 of the same chapter. But if you go on snapping at each other and tearing each other to pieces, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. What I am saying is this: run your lives by the Ruach. Then you will not do what your old nature wants. For the old nature wants what is contrary to the Ruach, and the Ruach wants what is contrary to the old nature. These oppose each other so that you find yourselves unable to carry out your good intentions. Minister Sean spoke last week of being obedient to Yehovah's word. We can only do that if we listen and follow after the Ruach that is within us and not follow our own fleshly natures. And this is not easy to do. It's not something that comes naturally to us. It's a work in progress, and I do not believe any of us, and I mean this, none of us, will perfect it by ourselves. It cannot be perfected, I don't believe, until we come face to face with Yeshua, and he will perfect us. In the meantime, we have to stick as close as we can to Yehovah's instructions through his scriptures, and especially the Torah, and know that we have something that the people that were given the Torah don't have. That is, we are blessed to have Yeshua and the Ruach HaKodesh within us to help us in our endeavors. So I'm just going to finish with that, and we'll go to the remembrance service.